welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. Coming to you from cyberspace, I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. And joining me as always, he runs around in underwear, it's Sean Paul Ellis. How are you underwear-wearing fiend?
David. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I wish we were doing a video cast right now, because he's literally just running around in underwear, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight.
I am. Why would you not?
Yeah.
Look, I am in the confines of my own home.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get comfortable.
Oh, do what you
I'm
want.
I'm gonna get comfortable.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I'm uncomfortable.
Ooh, and completing our trio. His brain's overloading, and it has a chocolate coating. It's Matt Barron. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good.
He's got chocolate coating, everyone. So we got Naked Sean running
Delicious.
Around.
Delicious.
Near Naked Sean. Mm. He's not a never-near,
yeah.
As far as I know. And chocolate coated Matt Barron. This is a delightful little episode. We're obviously talking Freakazoid, because that's about as random an intro as we can have. This is about as random a show as we've watched so far. I don't know how the guys feel.
I want to
jump in.
Hey, Dave, Matt. Since
yeah.
this show is completely based on non-sequiturs, at any point during this episode, if somebody just wants to non-sequitur and just start talking about whatever else is on their mind and something completely different, I'll allow it.
Oh, fuck. That's going to drive me insane.
I'll support it.
I'm kind of OCD-ish for folks that don't know me, so that will literally drive me insane. We're going
to
watch
you know
the show
you have to do now, Baron.
Relaxovision. How's that sound?
No.
Scream. No, we're going to watch in Relaxovision.
Oh, man.
It's going to be great. Before Sean starts his non-sequiturs, I'm going to give you guys a brief history of Freakazoid, which you may not be familiar with. I'm actually kind of surprised by, I don't know, this was a big thing to me in the mid-90s. I thought more people liked it, apparently not so much. So if you're not familiar with it, Freakazoid was an American animated TV series created by Bruce Timm and Paul Dini, names you may recognize, for the Kids WB programming block on the WB, the kind of defunct turned into CW WB. This was an Amblin Entertainment and Warner Brothers Animation production. Also involved Steven Spielberg, which was kind of fun. It was the third animated series that involved Mr. Spielberg. This was kind of during the late 80s and early 90s when kids animation was definitely making a big comeback. So I mentioned Bruce Timm earlier. You probably know him, one of the big players in DC Animated Universe. This was his creation, but he actually intended it to be kind of a straightforward superhero action adventure. With a little bit of comic flavoring, but Spielberg came in and was just like, nope, we're going to take the guy from that wrote Animaniacs, his name's Tom Ruger, and we're just going to turn this into a crazy bonkers comedy, which is exactly what happened. I don't think it would have done, well, it didn't do well, let's say that. It didn't do well in its original run. It developed kind of a cult following and, just kind of a cult hit later years. But during its original run, numbers weren't so great, so it's hard to say whether or not that was a good decision or not. The styling of the show is just, it's surreal. There's slapstick, they break the fourth wall a lot. There's a little bit of satire, but there's a lot more kind of the parody, and we can talk about kind of the differences between those two. There's a lot of pop culture references, but they were specific to pretty much the time of the mid-90s when this ran. The series was one of the first to debut on the new Kids WB Saturday morning block, September 9th, 1995. It lasted for two seasons, 24 episodes, finishing up on June in 1997. And like
that's,
I said,
that's pretty reasonable.
It's not
that's
bad.
Pretty,
I mean,
that's, yeah, that's pretty respectable.
24 episodes, I think that's pretty good. And honestly, like, these shows were so crazy, they probably just burned through all their goodwill because it seemed like they did not give a shit. They just did whatever they wanted to do, which is why I love these shows. And once the reruns showed up on Cartoon Network a couple of years later, that's when people started to kind of, like, pay attention to it. It kind of came into its own in that time when, like, Family Guy was being revived on Cartoon Network, and there were just some more kind of bonkers shows on that cable network. So I'm glad that it found a place, and I'm glad we get to watch it again. But to tell you what the show is actually kind of about, I'm going to turn it over to Sean, and I'll stop my rambling.
Thank you. So the title character in here, Freakazoid, has an alter ego that is a 16-year-old boy named Dexter Douglas. He's a high school student. He seems to be pretty poor with the ladies, but Freakazoid seems to continually, I don't know, kind of quest after, like, makeouts or kisses
boy,
on the cheek.
He. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Mm. This is what's interesting to me. And I know that we've kind of done, like, internet timelines before, especially when we discussed Reboot. But, I mean, this show came out in 1995, Dexter Douglas gained his powers from a computer bug, which sucked him into the internet and gave him, or sucked him into the computer and gave him all of the information that is on the internet at that time.
Right.
We've talked about this. Like, commercial internet had only been around for, like, a couple years at that point. So, like, what? He gained a bunch of, like, AOL chat rooms, a bunch of spinny GIFs, angelfire.com, yeah. GeoCities.
Some,
like,
cat pictures. He gained the very first cat pictures.
Garbage of the internet that, like, we are trying to still now bury.
Well, dude, it's like, no wonder his brain was fried. I mean, good Lord, cramming all that junk in there.
Well, I mean, I guess the point that I want to make with this is that there really wasn't enough. Like, at that point in time, you could still write down a majority of the IP addresses for the internet on a piece of paper and pass it to a person.
Right.
And, like, it wasn't ridiculous. Like, ugh. So, you know, whatever. that was the best Matt Barron laugh ever. He has, along with the ability to have all the information that's on the internet, which comes across in all these pop culture references, he has enhanced strength and endurance. He has speed. There's no sanity in terms of, like, what he does. Like, it bounces around so much. I don't have, like, an attention problem at all. And I was sitting here watching this, paying attention to the show, and I was like, oh my God, maybe I do now have an attention problem.
It gave from watching all this the program. Kids, ADD.
Yeah. Definitely. Ugh. It's like those shows that when you start up and they're just like, this show contains flashing lights, it may cause epilepsy. And you're like, oh, I'm fine. And then it starts flashing. And you're just like, oh no, I think something's wrong with me.
Like, well, now I definitely have epilepsy. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for the disclaimer. Now I have that problem.
Yeah.
He continues to fight on the side of the good and the just, I guess he's a redeemable character in that sense. But along with being somewhat redeemable, I know I've mentioned this before, is that how important the theme songs are, at least how important I posit the theme songs to be. This show actually really does have a great theme song.
Absolutely. And before we even get into that, I just want to mention this show was actually nominated for a Daytime Emmy in 1998.
What?
Yeah, based on an outstanding original song from composer Julie Bernstein and lyricist composer John P. McCann. I don't think it was for the title song. Wikipedia says it was. Yes, they actually won a Daytime Emmy in 96 for the original song, and they were nominated again in 98 for a song called Invisibo. But yeah, this main theme won a Daytime Emmy, which just goes to show you how shitty and worthless Emmys are. So, that being said, I'll turn it back over to
Sean. If you stand on top of the pile of shit, you're still the king, right?
Exactly. But now I'm going to turn it over to you guys.
You're still standing on shit at that point.
Hey, at least you're standing, kids. At least you're still standing.
Well, that's why the Daytime Emmys are shit.
Matt, I'm going to do this reading. Would you mind helping me out?
I would love to help you, Sean.
Wonderful. Super teen extraordinaire.
Freakazoid.
Runs around in underwear.
Freakazoid.
Rescues Washington, D.C.
Freakazoid.
Unless there's something better on TV.
Freakazoid.
His brain's overloading. It has a chocolate coating. Textbook case for Sigmund Freud.
Freakazoid.
Check out Dexter Douglas, nerd computer ace, went surfing on the internet and was zapped into cyberspace. He turned into a freakazoid. He's strong and super quick. He drives the villains crazy because he's a lunatic. His home base is the Freak-a-Lair.
Freakazoid fricassee.
Floyd the Barber cuts his hair.
Freakazoid chimpanzee.
Rides around in the Freakmobile.
Freakazoid freakazoo.
Hopes to make a movie deal.
Freak-a-me, freak-a-you.
He's here to save the nation, so stay tuned to this station. If not, we'll be unemployed.
Freakazoid, Freakazoid, Freakazoid.
Wonderful.
Very well done.
Wonderful.
Applause, applause. Very well done. Sean, I am excited to get into this theme song conversation with you and Matt because there are a number of things that I love about it. But I know you have an ongoing theory about how theme songs kind of set up the potential for the show and give the viewers some information. So how do you feel about this particular Emmy-winning theme song?
I feel actually pretty good about it. I mean, I have to amend this or at least caveat this and say that like the promise that the theme song makes is in no way indicative of whether or not you're going to enjoy the show. It's just whether or not the theme song actually delivers on the promise. And in this instance, yes, it absolutely does. I mean, if there was ever any case of like if you were ever doubting what show you're watching, you heard the name at least 20 times during the theme song.
Courtesy of Matt Barron.
It's Freakazoid.
Yes.
You know it's Freakazoid. I mean, it bounces around so quickly that, I mean, like, it does a great job of mapping the style of the show.
Definitely.
And the non-sequitur nature into the actual theme song. And so, in that case, yes, I think it delivered on its promise of being something completely batshit insane.
Yeah, and I love the visual way they jump around, too. So, like you said, their lyrics kind of jump around from place to place. You don't know what's coming next. Visually, they just paint exactly what the lyrics are saying, but it does it in such a very bold, colorful, and crazy way. I love that. I love the just intercuts, the smash cuts from one thing to the next.
The chimpanzee interstitial?
That absolutely killed me. I remember the first time I watched that, because like it sets your brain up. You hear Freakazoid, 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 Freakazoid over and over again, and out of nowhere comes this fucking chimpanzee, and it is a live action chimp. At least in the first episode, it's a live action chimp that just shows up, and he's like jumping a banana on a stump. That killed my brain as like the 12-year-old me. Just killed it dead, flatlined it. And I love that moment because like it, just a personal touch to this. This is something my brother and I used to watch, and he was only like, man, probably like 6 or 7 at the time when I was around 12. And me and him could sit down and watch it, and he would giggle and laugh at things that he found funny. I would laugh at stuff that I found funny. It was a show that we could watch together, and we both absolutely died whenever that chimpanzee came on. So I just love that.
Chimpanzee came on.
Yeah, hilarious. Monkeys.
I mean, and to deliver on the promise of the chimpanzee, there's like a lot of I want to say bathroom humor that's in this show. But it's specifically like, it seems like it's, and I don't, toilet humor and bathroom humor isn't correct in saying this. There's like a lot of times where like characters or people will just have like a toilet seat like around their head.
Yeah. He's being literal. Like,
yeah,
actual toilet humor. I think one of his weaknesses is poo gas as well. He has an aversion to poo gas.
I'm sorry. You said what?
Poo gas. Poo gas.
Poo gas.
Poo gas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be clear.
No, we're talking poo gas. And,
yeah, okay.
Yeah. So that's,
all right.
Yeah.
Was there any moment in the theme song when you guys heard the rides around in the Freakmobile where you were like, oh, this is getting dirty?
Ooh, I have to mention, this is my second point that I have to mention.
This is getting dirty.
This is getting good. I remember my mom disliking this show, which of course made me like it even more as like a 12-year-old kid, because she was like, it's kind of funny. I don't like when he says, freak of me, freak of you. And then she would just like walk out of the room, and I thought that was hysterical. I thought that was as funny as the show itself. Just she was just like, I don't like when he says freak of me, freak of you. Great. Good mom.
You should have put on some smooth R&B, like some Silky, like in the background, and just like, you know, put on his one hit Freak Me Baby. Mm.
And put a
totally
put a bright red
that.
Onesie on with an F and an exclamation point.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been fun. Good stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this theme song to me, like, I remembered it before I even, like, looked it up. It was just one of those things that stuck with me. And I just love that it sets up, to your point, I love how it sets up the nature of the show that is just nuts. It's energetic. It doesn't always make sense. There's going to be different kinds of comedy that you may or may not like. There's going to be a lot of non sequiturs. I love the fact that this show it's all animated, but then they throw in these weird cuts of like old timey footage that's like live action, like the three German dancers that just start having like a slap fight in the middle of dancing. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Speaking of non sequiturs, yeah. I mean, shit like that just like blew my mind when I was a kid because it just made no sense and I didn't know how to handle it, and I loved it and I still love it.
I don't know if I because I mean, Animaniacs and Tiny Toons yes. all came before this show. And I don't know if it was just that, like, I loved both of their theme songs. I don't know if this was something where, like, maybe I didn't get it, or maybe I just didn't like it as much as I enjoyed Tiny Toons sure. and Animaniacs. But I know I watched this show a couple times on TV, and then it became one of the shows that, like, when it came on, when I was like, because I must have been like 15 when this came on, like, it would. I'd see it come up and I'd be like, "Oh, I gotta change the channel. Like, I gotta put on Saved by the Bell." Like, I gotta
see. Maybe it was just the wrong time for you. Maybe it was just you were just too old for it at that point. And for me, it was like the exact perfect time because my brain didn't know what the hell it was doing. So like, this show made perfect sense for it because nothing else made sense. So the fact that this show was so insane, I was just like, "Yeah, I can get behind that. Nothing makes sense."
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. How you doing over there, Wheezy? Did you like this show?
No, you know what? It was all right. I mean, I think it was in about seventh grade when this show was on TV.
And
so,
the same age.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But at any rate, no. I mean, I'm kind of in Sean's boat. Like, I watched a little bit of Animaniacs, but Freakazoid for some reason, like the Jerry Lewis shit.
Yeah,
was just,
we'll
like,
get to that. That.
You know, and it's that. And just like stuff like that. I'm just like,
that's valid.
You know,
that is a
can't
very
really do this valid. So much
because I'm not a fan of Jerry Lewis. I do like slapstick, but his particular brand with the lady and all that, I never got into that. That was always grating and irritating. Freakazoid does that a lot. I don't know if it fades over the course of the series, but he does it quite a bit in the early goings. So I think the voice actors are trying to figure out the character, figure out how kind of crazy he is. But I love the fact that the creators and the writers and even the animators, they just kind of let him go. Like, there's no restrictions. They just let him go, man. I can picture the voice actors in the booth just going insane, just doing anything and everything they can think of. And then they're like, all right, we'll slap it together later and just write it up as it goes. And we'll animate whatever you just did because it made zero sense. And I feel like that's reflected in the animation too, because this character, like Sean mentioned with his powers, he can kind of do anything. He's almost like a plastic man at times. He can change size, shape. He can zip around like a little lightning bolt. He can jump up on top of things. Sometimes he's super strong. It's just, there's no limits to him. He can kind of do whatever he wants. But he's also insane. So that's his only limit, is that he can't actually harness his powers to do anything worthwhile because he's fucking nuts. Do you want to talk about some of the other characters? We've already kind of talked about Freakazoid. Do you want to talk about, like, his alter ego, Dexter, a little bit? Are you interested in him at all? Do you guys have any, like,
yeah,
take
I mean,
on him?
Yeah, I mean, like, he just, like, I kind of resent the fact that, like, they made Dexter out to be, like, this total nerd who, like, you know, used computers and, like, couldn't do anything else. As being somebody who works with computers every day, like, I mean, I don't know. It was a weird stereotype, but I mean, I get the time it like in the 90s, right. Like in the mid 90s, like when computers were becoming like a household thing, like it makes sense.
And the internet too, because
like,
the internet was like this great big unknown. So
because of the internet,
the end. Do you know how he actually got his powers though? Because it wasn't just like he didn't like hack into something and get zapped. Do you remember how he got his powers? I don't know if we saw it in the show or just quickly in the intro sequence.
Well, I watched the first two episodes and they never kind of delved into that. Like in the first episode, they just kind of assume that like you've watched the theme song.
You know
you're,
everything.
Like get ready for everything that's happening.
You've watched the theme song, you're 100% caught up.
Yeah, just like the 80s shows that we watched. But I don't remember, like maybe these are out of sequence. Or maybe there was an intro one that we couldn't find, but it's basically Dexter's at his computer. I don't remember 100% what he's doing. I think he's like typing up a paper or something. And his cat walks across the keyboard and types in.
It's always just this, the fault. It's always the fault of the cat.
The cats have always been connected to the internet since at least Freakazoid. The cat walks across the keyboard and it punches in a seemingly random series of codes. And then Dexter gets pissed, shoves the cat off the keyboard, and goes to hit the delete button, and that zaps him into cyberspace where he becomes Freakazoid. That's his origin story. Cats plus the internet equals Freakazoid, and I love it. And you guys hate it. You got to remember, though, this was before that was a cliche. Or at least right around the time when it was starting to jump the shark to become a cliche. But it was. I mean, we're talking 20 years ago almost for this. You know?
Damn it.
I'm not arguing with you.
No. I mean, well, you should be because
for the time that this came out, like, it was accurate. Like, you know, people were starting to kind of parody, you know, people who use computers all day long. Like this was the thing. This was the stereotype that people had created in the media about people who use computers.
Yeah, I could see that. I think they parodied way more other stuff from the superhero genre. So, I mean, even in the first episode alone, guys, we're going to be jumping all over the place because Non Sequitur Sean is in the house. So we're just going to be jumping all over.
I'm trying to stay true to this show.
I know. We do it anyway, so who cares? But, in the first episode, there's like the narrator, and he basically says something about, he introduces this villain, and he's like, if only there was a hero who could stop him, normally it would be this guy. And they show like a silhouette of the very well-known at that point Batman from Batman the Animated Series.
The
triangle eyes with the black, all black silhouette of his cape and the cowl. And he's holding up a villain. And the narrator says, you know, this hero could stop him, but he's on another network. And then they just cut over.
That was hilarious.
That was so good.
And they do stuff like that constantly, but it's blended in with a lot of this slapstick, toilet humor, Jerry Lewis type stuff that I can understand why it would turn some people off. Yeah. Did you guys have any other, like, favorite characters in the, or at least characters that were interesting to you if you weren't a big fan of the show? So we'll say you don't like Freakazoid, you don't like the...
I definitely did. Baron, did you have one?
Actually, you know, I kind of liked Cosgrove, just because he was, kind of a funny stereotype, like, you know, your standard animated, like, cop with the huge eyebrows that, like, cover his actual eye sockets, junk like that. But he just had, like, a couple, like, funny moments. Like, I was watching kind of like a clip compilation, mm-hmm. and he actually, like, outs Freakazoid, as Dexter to Steph,
right?
And Freakazoid gets all pissed and he's like, you know, you weren't supposed to say anything. And he's like, well, I just wanted to be clear that it's totally obvious that you're Dexter and we're going to save your family. And I was, that cracked me up. Just like the deadpan, like, I mean, everybody knows that, right? It was just hilarious.
No, Cosgrove is awesome. I'm a big fan of him. Sean, were you a fan of him too?
That was actually my thing was, so in the first two episodes, the two episodes that I watched, I didn't see Cosgrove interact with any other characters that were on the show other than Freakazoid.
Right.
And I was curious if Cosgrove was like a manifestation of Freakazoid's head, like of his insanity, and Cosgrove acted like the justice and / moral compass of Freakazoid.
Okay, I'm going to follow that theory too. Follow that theory through, because to let people know what Cosgrove does, like Matt said, he's kind of the stout, very heavy-lidded cop, but like the what's the word I'm looking for?
So speaking of stout, stereotype. Did you know that it's International Stout Day today?
Ooh, delicious! I had a lager earlier, so that's not
non sequitur number one.
Yeah. I wish I had a stout right now. Speaking of stout, Cosgrove is stout.
You were saying about Cosgrove.
Yeah. So, okay, he's voiced by Ed Asner. I feel like that, just the voice, lets you know what this character looks like. Because he looks like Ed Asner in a cop's uniform. He's just kind of like
very
this dumpy,
fatherly, very like
stout old guy. And he shows up randomly. He distracts Freakazoid. He's like, in the first one, he's like, hey, Freakazoid, you want to go get a mint? And as you're watching, you're just like, what the fuck does that even mean? Freakazoid's like, yeah, all right. As he's like trying to go save the world, or save the city at least, he's like, yeah, let's go get a mint. So they show up at this, what was the name of the restaurant? It was just like the Mint Shop or something strange.
It was Make Mine Mint.
Make Mine Mint. Well done. Yeah, so they just have these like sidebars, these like side adventures that you don't really see a lot. You see the beginning and then you see the end of it. And then Cosgrove is just kind of like, hey, thanks for coming over for that mint. You should probably get back to saving the city now. And he's like, oh, yeah, I should do that. So saying that he's like his moral compass or his sense of justice or even like a spirit of rationality, I can't buy it because he is almost like a distracting influence on him because he shows up. He's like, hey, you want to go see a monkey riding a unicycle? And Freakazoid's like, do I? So he always shows up for shit like that and then puts him
back
on
the track. Hey, Freakazoid, you want to go to the Fall Harvest Festival? Do I?
Do I? Like... I love Cosgrove, though, mostly because it's Ed Asner. He does interact with other characters, though, throughout the show. So he actually interacts.
Okay. Yeah, like that that conversation I mentioned was Cosgrove, Freakazoid, and Steph.
Yeah, and Steph is Dexter's kind of on-again, off-again girlfriend, depending on which episode you watch. Yeah, but he also, I watch one with Norm Abrams, which, okay, fuck, the fact that Norm Abrams is an animated character in a TV show with a superhero, that is enough for me. If you don't know who Norm Abrams is, definitely look him up. I could watch, what is it, Old Yankee Workshop or New Yankee Workshop? I could watch that for just hours, just by itself.
New Yankee Workshop.
New Yankee Workshop. And the fact that he is animated and kind of a heroic character in a superhero series, I just love it, man. I don't know. It's so random that I can't help but find this very endearing. I love it. So yeah, Cosgrove talks to him too. Did you have any like favorite villains, or at least of the ones you watched, did any kind of stand out? Because we saw at least three, I think, three or four, just in the first two episodes.
I saw three, and yeah. I liked Candlejack.
I love Candlejack. Be careful when you say his name, because he will show up. So a little late for us, but Baron, just don't say his name. You should be fine.
Oops.
Yeah, we're screwed.
Call him Candle J.
Candle J. We'll call him CJ.
CJ. But yeah, I thought Candlejack was a lot of fun. I kind of thought like for that second episode, they kind of introduced like this like really long voiceover Deus Ex Machina to like wrap up his interaction with Candlejack about like Freakazoid building this trap and like how could, you know, CJ have known that he was doing this thing and then he ensnares them and then it was done and then everything was over. And I was like, well, that seemed very simple and well packaged with a little ribbon on it. So, all right.
Yeah, but I don't know how to explain this, but to me, it's not the stories that I'm not looking for. A conflict and then a resolution in a story. I'm just looking for wall-to-wall insanity from one minute to the next, because that's what this show is. Like, if you want the regular superhero type stuff with a story that, you know, has some intrigue and stuff, great. There's plenty of stuff out there for that. This is a parody of that, so they flip that around. They tie stuff up neatly because they've done so much crazy shit for 99% of their time that they just wrap it up at the end and are done with it. But
I guess that's maybe the difference of opinion that we have with this is that like you thought it was a parody that was successful. I thought this was a parody that was like it really kind of turned up lukewarm or mediocre.
Okay,
I'm in Sean's boat.
Fair enough. We're gonna sink that boat. I'm going to go get some more rope.
We're in boat mediocre right now. So mediocre boats. Yeah. It didn't like the things that were supposed to be a parody for me in this show. Like, this was very early on in the DC animated universe. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like it was really only Batman, the animated series. And so I guess if I'm to take Batman TAS and like Animaniacs and say that like the contrast or like the yin to yang is Freakazoid, I don't know, it missed the mark for me at points. It missed the mark when I was a kid watching this, like at 15, and there were moments that I saw this and I was just kind of like, there were moments like you had with like when you saw the chimpanzee where like you just kind of like blurted out laughing,
right?
You know, that like you really enjoyed, like there were those like single moments, and I had very single moments of enjoyment with this show.
Fair enough.
Holistically, it just didn't land for me.
I gotta ask you guys this. Are you a fan of The Tick?
Both? Yeah, you know, I'm a fan of The Tick. I do not remember watching it that much. I mean, I can tell you that I maybe only saw like four episodes the whole way through. But I thought the style of humor was, you know, slightly different, less like slapsticky.
Yeah, sure. It definitely was. But it was, well, Sean, were you a fan of it? Because I'm curious to see where you kind of lie on this one.
I'm kind of middle of the road on the tech. Really? I watched a lot of it, sense. But I like there were some things that I was like, oh yeah, I enjoy this, and I liked the grounded nature of the tick.
Yeah,
grounded.
I particularly liked. Here comes a non sequitur. I particularly liked the superhero deflator mouse.
Oh, deflator mouse.
Yeah,
because I love it was Sewer Batman. Urgent,
but that's just me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, that's just a
hilarious thing to me.
Yeah. No, yeah. I love Deflator Mouse. Chairhead Chippendale, that's another one we'll have to revisit in the future. But that was kind of a slightly more mature version of Freakazoid, but I can see them kind of being in the same universe. So at least you guys are consistent that you got kind of lukewarm feelings for the tick and for Freakazoid, because I see them, I paint them with a similar brush. I love both of them.
All right, to your point, like, these came out in and around the same time. Right.
It was like, and I love Batman the Animated Series through and through. I could watch that over and over and over again. And one day we'll talk about that show on here. But that's going to be a good one. But it was just, it took itself so seriously most of the time, which was just the tone of it. And that was fine. It was great for what it was. I loved the freedom and the energy and the insanity of Freakazoid. I like that contrast. Maybe not a point for point contrast or comparison to Batman, but as a tone, one was fairly, not restrained, but at least ordered and serious and dark, and the other was just zany and childish and free. And I love both sides of those things. I like the other villains, though, too. So Candlejack was fun because he was kind of he was basically a boogeyman, but he was almost like, he was an ineffectual boogeyman. He didn't really do much. If you said his name, if you said Candlejack, like, oh, I don't know, if you're a bunch of kids sitting around a campfire telling a story about Candlejack, he shows up, and he's just kind of like this floating scarecrow ghost-looking character, and he just loops you in his, like, line of rope, and you just float behind him, and he just takes you away to do whatever. And he just keeps showing up, because people keep saying his name. I love that idea that it was, like, a villain that really didn't do anything. He just kept showing up because everybody around him was stupid. I loved it. I think people still do like him. There's a lot of cosplay and stuff for Candlejack. Did you guys like the Loeb at all? Any feelings about
him? Yeah, he was. I did enjoy him. He was fun.
You know, tell folks about the Loeb if they're not familiar with him.
And he's just this super genius brain that just tries to continually like trap. And in the one episode that I saw, he was trying to dissect Freakazoid. It was just really funny, like, because he has him, like, tied down to this, like, table, and he's like, we're going to cut open his head and see what makes him tick. And so he cuts open Freakazoid's head, and inside there's a ticking time bomb, and then Freakazoid pops out, and he's like, see? He said, you said you were going to see what's in my head and see what ticks, and what was inside was a ticking time bomb, and now... it's a bomb. Like, yeah, I was just like, okay, like, you've now over-explained this joke.
Yeah,
like,
which I found hilarious.
But I mean, like, it was silly in that sense. I just, like, there were just some things about it where I was like, oh, right, like, I get it.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious to find, like, what types of humor, like, what kinds of humor or what moments made you guys laugh and what moments made you kind of cringe and want to change the channel. I can understand the Jerry Lewis stuff.
The Jerry Lewis stuff, Some of the stuff that was, I guess, like, very relevant in, like, pop culture or, like, the news during that time. Mm-hmm. Like, in the first episode, there's, like, this... So to set the scene for, part of the first episode, since everything's kind of broken up into, like, these smaller chunks...
Yeah, it's like a variety.
The villain called Cave Guy has taken over Harry Connick High School. There's a dance that evening. He attacks. There's a newscaster that is outside, and he just says, like, he just goes, this is a story as big as OJ. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
no,
that's a little rough. I mean, that's a problem with
this. This isn't anywhere close to. This is a comical caveman who every once in a while just goes,
I subscribe to the New York.
So that I think was funny because the first time you're introduced, it's the first episode, you're introduced to this lumbering caveman that's just like going through the streets of Washington, D.C. and just like flipping cars and smashing police cars. And then it cuts to him and he's just like, oh, I subscribe to the New Yorker. And it's just, you don't see shit like that coming. So, I mean, if that tickles your funny bone,
but Dave,
if not, then I can understand not liking it. Yeah.
Yeah. With all this heat, how will I escape to the Hamptons?
It still makes me laugh.
Jesus.
Like, shit like that kind of made me, it made me laugh because I just, yeah. I don't know.
See, that kind of stuff was funny to me, too. Right. But, like, some of the literal stuff was, like, really not funny. Like, you know, cringeworthy. Like at the end, like, after he rescues everybody at the dance, like, I think actually it was Steph, like, came up to him and said, call me later. And she, as soon as she walks out of frame, Freakazoid starts screaming her name. And it's like, you know, like calling her, and I'm just like, all right, too literal, not funny.
Yeah, stuff like that, I get. And that was the annoying part of it. And I think that maybe, I don't know if that softened or probably just got worse over the course of the series, but I think that was, again, the voice actor trying to, like, find the character. But also, I just love that they were just being insane with it. But yeah, I can totally understand why that would turn people off, because there's a lot of moments like that when Freakazoid's fighting cave guy at one point, he just like leaps on top of the guy's head and is just like perched up there like a cat, and he just starts shouting like Jerry Lewis. He like starts doing this song.
Yeah,
I'm not even gonna like attempt to read
it. I guess that was kind of my problem with some of, at least like the first episodes that I watched, is that it seemed like there were a lot of times where like they didn't really have much that they wanted to put in the episode regarding like content. So they just let Paul Rugg like scream his fucking head off.
Yeah.
Like they were just like the whole first part of the first episode about the weather report is just Paul Rugg fucking as Freakazoid fucking screaming about shit. Like
that part was hilarious.
See,
to me,
now that's what I think is funny.
Screaming nonstop. It was funny for like 2 seconds, but then the bit went on, and I was like, okay, like wrap this up,
dude.
Like,
do you want to talk about a bit going on? Can we talk about the third part of that first episode? Do you remember that bit about the hand man?
Yeah. So the hand. They did this whole thing like at the end about like it's Freakazoid's continuing quest to find the perfect sidekick. Right.
Well done.
And so he has this sidekick named Handman, which is just he has drawn drawn eyes on his hand.
Yep.
And he's made it into like a kind of like a little hand puppet.
Yep.
Which just made me think of like the like South Park, like Jennifer Lopez, like bit, which I thought was actually perfectly on South Park, you know. But like, man, like it kind of just dragged on like forever and ever. And then there was a little bit of action where like he finally used Handman to like punch the Lobe and like kind of foil his plans to like get, you know, to be captured. And so I mean, like that was fun, and that was interesting. It was just like, you know, there were like just those like ventriloquist, like those bad ventriloquist bits, where he's just like, "Watch me drink this glass of water," and he's like drinking a glass of water, and like, you know, the hand is like still talking, but then it's like as he's drinking, it's gargling water. Like, you know, you can clearly tell that it's just his hand, and like the Lobe's not buying it. I guess that's what was actually funny to me, was the Lobe wasn't buying it for like 1 second.
Yes.
He called him on his bullshit.
See, and that is the great one of the greater things about the show too, is that everybody in this world knows that Freakazoid is fucking insane. Everybody else kind of like is the straight man to him, even if you're the Lobe who's just walking around and you're just a giant exposed brain. Like, they know that he's insane, and they kind of play off of stuff like that, so they call him out. I liked stuff like that, especially with the Lobe. He has a very just kind of like dry delivery, a dry sense of humor, and he always just gets beat up, but he keeps coming back for more. I liked stuff like that. But then Sean mentioned that there was a little bit of action in that scene. That's literally only the first minute. For the next 7 minutes, you watch Freakazoid's hand man meet the hand girl, I guess, which is just his other hand. And then you watch their lives grow.
They get married in Vegas, and then they go on a honeymoon, and like, there's that weird shot of like both hands like resting like daintily on a pillow. Yeah. And the only thing I thought in my the back of my head was like, are they gonna hand fuck?
Yeah,
like what's next? And like they start making out. And in like the back of my head, I was like, this is so fucking hot. I was just like, I was like, cops. And like, it just continued. And then he's just like, oh, what a happy ending. Unlike some other people. And then he looks down at his feet and you see that his feet are like, I was like, all right, that was a good way to like flip the idea. I will give the writers a lot of credit.
Dude, just for going through 110% with that. Just
oh my God.
To follow
there's,
through.
There's so much stuff that they pivot off yeah. of in this in terms of ideas, which is fucking great. I don't know what it is. For me, just a lot of those jokes, like they either went too long or they just fell flat. And I just, at that point, like the right, like they had already committed to the gag
right.
and like, they weren't going to back down.
No.
You know, and so you're just kind of watching somebody else go on this journey where you're just like, oh, my God, like, I have to sit through this whole fucking thing. Like, all right. You know, I mean, it's to your point, again, there were those like single moments that were like really, really entertaining that were in there. Those like little golden nuggets. But I didn't see them all the time.
See, and I caught in that too, like Saturday Night Live or any other type of like variety shows where you can watch Saturday Night Live for an hour and you might find 48 minutes of it just almost unbearable. But occasionally there's just like a short or a skit or any kind of performance that you're just like, yes, we'll be talking about that for the next week at least. And I kind of liken it to that. Everything is not going to hit. It's going to hit differently for different people. I love the fact that they just were insane. They were free with it. They won 110%. And then
sure.
they broke it up. Like in the second one, you guys watched the second episode too, correct?
Yes.
They completely
yes.
took a left turn with Toby Danger in Doomsday Bet. And that was just...
Yeah, what the
I don't even remember that from the show, to be honest with you. Matt, I know you're a fan
Before we transition over to this,
yeah.
I want to say that there was one character that whenever he showed up, we were talking about cringeworthy shit. Mm-hmm. This character made me fucking cringe every fucking time and didn't say anything, was just fucking weird as hell. And that was, I'm going to screw up the name, but Emmett Neverend,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Okay, we can talk about these two characters. There's Emmett Neverend and there's Waylon Jeepers. I was actually going to throw them in now, but so let's do that anyway.
All right, well, I mean, like, Waylon Jeepers, like, I don't want to spend too much time on either of them, but, like, Waylon Jeepers, because I think the parody of, Johnny Quest was entertaining and unexpected,
right.
But like Waylon Jeepers shows up and he something about turn like oh I don't know, it was very weird. That didn't creep me out. This Emmett Neverend looks like a guy who is in like he is in the process of giving himself a hernia while taking a shit.
Yeah, it's very
and, like,
he's very strained.
Just,
he's a very strained gentleman.
Just like strained neck veins. Like a big grin with like a fucking beak nose.
You need to find his like any gifts or anything because they need to be all over Tumblr just to haunt your dreams.
Spindly fucking wire hair and it like to see him walk across like any part of the show. I was like, oh, God,
it looks
I'm
like an early early Matt Groening drawing or something like that. It's...
Wanted a fucking crying game shower for myself
immediately. Oh my God. See, I thought his face was hilarious.
I thought it was hilarious, too. And you see it, like, every episode.
I was so creeped out.
You see him in the title sequence,
yeah.
And then he's like an Easter egg. You have to try to find him in the episode, because he just pops up.
He's like the aliens in South Park. Like, they're always there.
Yeah.
It's just...
He's got to find him.
Fucking...
Emmett Neverend. Oh, man. I'm going to let Matt talk a little bit about Toby Danger. I have a feeling that
Please.
He liked Toby Danger, or at least wants to talk about it, because I know he's a fan of Venture Brothers, who have a similar spin on Johnny Quest. So, Matt... What did you think of Toby Danger in Doomsday Bet?
You know, I mean, it was actually... I got the, like, the Venture Brothers... I mean, well, obviously, Venture Brothers was, like, 10 years
yeah, exactly.
later, but the Johnny Quest thing, like, I straight up watched Johnny Quest as a kid.
Yeah, me too.
But I also thought it was, like, occupied this sort of, like, weird... semi-educational cartoon meets action cartoon. So, like, anything that makes a pun of that just, like, really hits for me because I have such memories of Johnny Quest as a kid.
Right.
So, like, I mean, I just kind of thought, like, it was baseline funny for me, like, compared to, like, Freakazoid in general, which, like, just hits or doesn't. So, I mean, a lot more of it was much funnier.
Yeah, I loved it. I wanted to actually look and kind of dig in to see
what the hell were you laughing at, Sean?
He's just Emmett Nepper.
No, I just... no, because I, like, I wanted, like... Is there, like, a part... Matt, is there, like, a part of you, like, when you were growing up that you were just, like... I wish I was Johnny Quest. Like, I wish I had, like... like, a hunky adult babysitter.
Well, maybe not that so much.
A best friend who's a minority and, like, a super science dad.
Dude, they have hover bikes. Only... They fight frogmen, giant metal spiders. They have Asian stereotype arch nemesis.
No, Dave, hold on. Very excited. Matt, what were you going to answer?
I was going to say only the new adventures of Johnny Quest when there was much cooler technology. Mm. Because, like, the 60s adventures of Johnny Quest, I'm like, but all of that sucks.
As all the Cold War tech. Don't...
Yeah, exactly. You know, so if it's got to be it's got to be new Johnny Quest.
Buddy, we're going to tag team. We're going to do old and new adventures of Johnny Quest one episode because I'm a huge fan of Johnny Quest. I love it. Old and new. I like both.
I was also laughing at the – what was the part Toby Danger – who was the father?
Oh, I can't remember their names. I got to pull their names back up. But
there's like – because the guy who played like the – I'm confusing
Venture Brothers.
Like, I'm confusing Venture Brothers and Johnny Quest right now. But like the Brock Samson character, the fucking name Dash O'Pepper. I lost my mind. I was like, this is so fucking great. Like this is insane.
I'm trying to look them all up now.
What was it? There was the part where like they get. They're like on they live on like a floating island and it like smashes into the sea and then they get on these like movable it's like a sidewalk. It's like a floating sidewalk.
Yeah, I think they actually just call it a movable sidewalk. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like Toby Danger asks, he's just like he's like, "Hey Dad, did you create these like when like you know, did you create this like for some reason?" And his dad just like looks at him and he goes, "Oh, I created this when I." He like paused for a minute and like had like it was almost like a deep serious like, "Oh, what have I done?" And he's just like, "Oh, I created this when I created the technology that destroyed your adopted sister Sandra's. this technology killed your entire adopted sister Sandra Danger's." Like hometown and all of her family,
right.
And she just like without a beat, she just goes, "I don't look at it as losing a family." Or she goes, "I don't look at it as like losing a hometown. I look at it as gaining a family." And I was like, "Oh my god, I fucking love this!" Like, this
yeah, that was pretty hilarious.
I don't know what it is about like somebody going through like something terrible and tragic, but still maintaining such a positive outlook on life that they're just like, "Oh yeah, don't worry about it. I'm perfect." Like that cracked me up.
Yeah, apparently. So I'm just doing a little bit of quick research on it. I don't know how vetted this is, but apparently Toby Danger wasn't originally created for Freakazoid. It was a guy named Tom Minton who was a writer for Animaniacs. He liked doing parodies of other cartoons. He did one that parodied like Mighty Mouse, and he also had an idea for Johnny Quest. And they just didn't know where to put this one, so it was storyboarded. It was ready to go. They just didn't know where to put it. So it wasn't until Freakazoid kind of popped up and they were just like, "Oh, it's like a variety show. Let's just put that together in there."
Yeah.
So that's kind of where that came from. I don't know if they ever did any more of them, but I absolutely loved that. I thought it was hysterical. And it was a nice precursor to Venture Brothers, which took it way further. But I love the fact that they kept that like 60s era Hanna-Barbera style of the visuals too. And obviously they had fun with the names, but they kept that visual style too, so that was pretty cool. I like that. Would you recommend Freakazoid just for that short alone, or would you tell people to go seek out Toby Danger just by itself?
I would seek that out and then take a pass on the rest, to be honest.
You hurt me deep in the soul and the heart. I thought you guys were going to like this one. I'll find one that you actually like one of these days.
I'd say actually my recommendation would be just to watch episode 2.
Sure.
Because that had candle – that had – Yeah, I'm not going to say the name. I'm not that dumb. I'm not going to get fooled into it this time. Yep. Because that had Candle Jack in it, and it also had the Toby Danger segment, or the first Toby Danger segment. And I think that that was I think that that's worth the watch. I mean, if you like sort of the non sequitur, that'll also give you an exposure to Cosgrove and sort of just right. how he interacts with the rest of with the rest of the show and that dynamic that he has with Freakazoid. So yeah, watch episode two. If you watch episode two and you're just like, yeah, I'm into this. Like, yeah, maybe go back, watch the first episode, continue watching. But I mean, I'm glad I watched episode two. Episode one was so much of a clusterfuck for me. I just too many cringe moments.
Fair enough. So that's a pretty
yeah. Episode one was a bit of a long walk for me as well. I'll agree with you there.
Fair enough. I'm still going to recommend it because I loved it as a kid. I enjoyed going back to watch it.
Classic Dave.
Yeah, well, I'm the host, so you do what I say. So I like the first two episodes. I found out during the research, like I said, that Norm Abrams was in an episode. That will make me laugh till the day I die. So I went and watched that episode too. So that is actually, I believe, the last episode of the 24 Freakazoid shows that we're on. So if you're a fan of Norm Abrams and his woodwork up there at the new Yankee Workshop, then check out Norm Amadeus. It's amazing because it's not, I mean, it's just him, man. I don't know. It sounds exactly like him. I'm not 100% sure if he did the voice or not, but it sounds and looks exactly like him. And it's amazing. He has a great couple of moments in there. So I'm gonna recommend it, but that's 1 out of 3. So you guys trump me on this one. Listeners, let us know if you remember it fondly or if you absolutely hate it. I'm curious. You know what else I was curious about? Rule 34. I'm going to say do not do that search. It's... There's a lot of weird stuff. The show's pretty weird.
Yeah, I saw some weird shit when I was on Tumblr today and posting a bunch of stuff. Thankfully, I did not reblog any of that because that would have been weird as hell.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Anything else from Freakazoid from you guys? I'm disappointed, but it's okay. We'll carry on. Anything else?
I like from watching a lot of the stuff that's like a lot of the GIFs that I posted today.
Yeah.
Like there were some really funny moments about it. Like I'm kind of curious to go and like maybe watch like a clip episode. Or,
like
a
Matt said with Cosgrove, stuff. Maybe there's like a best of or something out there.
That's
yeah. I think there is one on YouTube. I mean, well, actually, there's a couple on YouTube. It's good because it really is the highlights of it. So it's like, you know, you're not going to get any storyline elements there, but, you know, it's good laughable moments.
I got to say, speaking of non sequitur, why the fuck is there a picture of Totally Spies on our Tumblr page right now? What is happening?
Shut up. Somebody had said, like, because I follow a lot of cartoon stuff, and somebody had said, like, please tell me that I'm, you know, the title of it says, tell me I'm not the only one who remembers these three bad bitches. And it's a picture of the three ladies from Totally Spies.
Got it.
I absolutely remember. I used to watch Totally Spies all the time.
See, I don't know that one now. I only knew it was Totally Spies because of the tag that's on it. Yeah. So I was very confused. Yeah. I'm very confused. So, but at least
Spies was a very fun. I mean, I remember it being like it sort of was like a precursor to like Kim Possible.
Okay.
Disney Channel. Like so, yeah. It was just
hey man, put it on the list.
Yeah, put it on the list.
Sweet. Awesome. All right, that's pretty much all the time we have for Freakazoid. I'm sure the guys are happy to hear that one. Put it behind them. I'm going to give them a chance now to plug some stuff they've got coming up, stuff that they actually like. So let's start with Sean. What do you have coming up, buddy? Anything for the listeners to come check you out in?
I'm actually, if you're in the D.C. area, I think it is as a part of D.C. Shorts. I'm going to be premiering a movie that we are going to be preparing and writing we've got like 4 or 5 days to be able to put it together. I think it'll be premiering November 21st. I'll put more information available on the website. And then I have a bunch of shows that are going to be available or coming up in December at Source Theater as a part of Washington Improv Theater's upcoming holiday run called Seasonal Disorder. You can find out more information on WIT's brand new website, which is witdc.org.
I like it. Like Sean said, we're going to have all that information up on our site, and you can go check it out, check him out. That's a lot of stuff, buddy. Baron, why don't you balance him out and tell us what you're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks?
You know, nothing.
Yeah, there it is. Balanced.
Chilling.
The world. Chilling. The world is balanced. As for me, if you listened to last week's episode, you heard my good buddy and sometimes boss, Steve Weintraub, on the show here from Collider.com. Guess what, folks? I still review some shows over at Collider.com. The holidays will
hey,
not
Dave,
stop
what
us.
Shows do you what shows do you
oh,
review?
Oh, buddy, I'm so glad you asked, because I know you watch these shows, too, and you kindly
I watch all of, I watch all of them except for one.
Oh, which one?
I don't watch The Walking Dead.
What? Wow. I'm surprised.
I'm just not watching it.
Are
right
you
now.
Just worried that Emmett Neverend is going to show up and just creep along?
Oh, God. I'll catch up on it eventually. I'm watching the other four a lot right now.
Fair enough. Hey,
I don't have
an
infinite
there,
amount of time.
You and me both. Listeners, as a non sequitur again, send Sean all the pictures of Emmett Neverend you can find and just flood his Twitter account and his email and his house, if you know where he lives, his mailbox.
Do not send that
dress
to my
as
house.
Emmett Neverend, with or without pants on, and show up at his place. Back to my shows. If you want to check out reviews on Gotham, The Flash, Arrow, The Walking Dead, and Constantine, you can check me out and my reviews over at Collider.com. If you want to know more about the show, please visit us at SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Again, that's morning with a U. If you want to check out Totally Spies and all kinds of Freakazoid stuff on our Tumblr page, where Sean's been doing a real good job, that's SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. You can send Emmett Neverend gifts over to us on Twitter at MorningTunes. You can also flood our email box, SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. And guess what, guys? If you're listening to this podcast right now or maybe watching it on YouTube, you can also subscribe week to week. Oh, plus our new mini episodes, which we just started this week, and hopefully we'll keep doing those just to kind of tease the podcast that's coming up. So you can subscribe week to week on iTunes and Stitcher. That's about it for me. Sean, you want to tell the folks what's coming up next week? Because I do believe it is your pick.
Oh, man. Well, I'll ruin the acronym for everybody. Next week, we're going to be watching Mobile Armored Strike Command, otherwise known as MASC.
How about that?
Yes.
This is one that I've heard a lot about, but I honestly don't remember too much about it. I know people are like rabid fans for this, but I don't remember it. So I'm looking forward to checking this one out.
This is one I'm excited. This show went two seasons. I mean, like everything else that we've talked about, you know, especially last week with Thundercats, like this show existed to fucking sell toys. And the toys that they had for this show were awesome.
Really?
Like they were so much fun. Like I think I had two of them maybe. It was just a blast. Like, you know, they were always like vehicles, and the vehicles always transformed into like these crazy, awesome weapons. Like, I'm not remembering what the name of the one character was, but it was like the main guy from the good guys. It was
you
bad guys
me, brother.
Were
I don't know
bad guys
about
were part the bad guys were part of Mask. The bad guys were part of Venom. The good guys were part of Mask.
Okay.
And in part of Mask, there was one that, like, this dude had it was like a Mack truck, and like the Mack truck, like the back of it opened, and there was like a missile silo that was in the back of it. I had that toy, and I was so excited when I got it. So it was like whatever Christmas that was, like 86 or something like that. Like, it blew my mind. I was so pumped about it.
Cool.
So
we'll have toy
I remember
talk
watching
next
this
week
show
too.
Finally. Yeah, exactly. I am curious if this is going to hold up against my 6, 7, 8-year-old memories.
I don't know.
So.
Matt, did you watch the show at all? Because, I mean, like I said, I know a lot of people like to watch it and talk about it. But
I did not watch this one bit.
This will be interesting then. It'll be two newcomers and a toy freak. So it'll be good times.
Yep.
Speaking of Sean, we're going to let him take us out for this show. So, again, this has been Saturday Morning Cartoons. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Dave.